from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We've got the Deshaun stuff going on. Does the offense look any good? We got the JOK contract extension, the Mike Hall situation, joint practices galore, and there is no one at Friday at 6 p.m. that we would rather talk to about all this ooey-gooey football stuff. The great Albert Breer joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Sorry for the delay. It's busy time of year, but I'm actually out at a lake right now. So we got you got me at a good time.
Well, I don't want to brag, but we did interview Hulk Hogan a couple hours ago, so there's a lot to live up to right now, buddy.
Awesome. He's actually interjected himself back into the national spotlight. So how's he doing?
He seems pretty good. Gave us an explanation on why he says brother every other word. Now, just for our own, could you give us a little Hulk Hogan? Can you just throw in like brother randomly in this conversation, or is that a bridge too far?
Well, you mean like if I go like, well, let me tell you something. Like, I can't do a very good one. I can do a better Macho Man. But everybody,
come on, Albert, right? brother,
is that good?
Yeah, it's better.
That's a pretty good brother. Okay, can you give me the Macho Man now? Because I was a huge Macho Man fan too.
I love the Macho Man. Ooh yeah. Guys like that.
Ooh, yeah.
Nip into a Slim Jim.
I was singing Slim Jim too.
Yeah.
You like Slim Jim, Albert?
It's funny because he has such a great like legacy wrestling-wise, and like those Slim Jim commercials just like sort of overtook everything. You know what I mean?
Get the Slim Jim question in there. I asked, you like Slim Jims? You into Slim Jims?
Is that a Slim Jim thing?
You a Slim Jim addict?
I'm a big fan of Slim Jims. Do you like Slim Jims?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I like the spicy ones.
I like the Tabasco.
The Tabasco, yeah.
I they're great. Like, it's just like that kind of like that greasy feel you have in your mouth after you eat one. You know, like that's the only downside.
It's like the best.
They're great on road. They're great on road.
I was just
going
to say road trips. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will say, when it comes to road trips, beef jerky in general, which I don't know I actually consider Slim Jims to be beef jerky, but they're beef jerky adjacent. That's the number one road trip snack. You can never eat enough beef jerky on the road.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it doesn't, like, fill you up the same way. Like, if you ate, like, sometimes I'll get, like, there'll be a type of potato, like, because I obviously for, like, especially this time of year, I'm on the road a lot. Like, if there's a type of potato chip that I want that doesn't come in the smaller bag, I'll buy the bigger bag, and then I'll swear to myself that I'll only eat, like, the equivalent of the little bag, and then I end up eating the whole thing and feeling like crap the rest of the day. Like, I feel like beef jerky doesn't fill you up the same way. Like a bag of potato chips would make you feel like crap, you know?
Yeah, beef jerky is great. A lot of protein, low calories, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Macho Man was onto something.
Mm. Albert.
That he was.
We've had a lot of conversations about how well or not well Deshaun has looked in practice. I know you had your camp stop earlier. In terms of the people you've talked to, in terms of what you saw, brother. How do you think Deshaun looked, and how do you, you know, what are you hearing about how he looks in practice and in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. Like, I always hesitate in these situations, A, because I only get to see one day of it, right? Like, for pretty much every team. And then B, you know, it's just, you don't know what teams are working on. Like, I'll give you the best example is the Niners. Like Kyle Shanahan wants his quarterbacks to throw interceptions in practice, you know? Like, he wants his quarterbacks to test their limits. And so you know, in every camp, like the quarterback's in a little bit of a different situation, and you know, you have to. That's why you have to talk to people, right? Like, it's the most important thing is to talk to people and try to figure out what they're trying to accomplish. And you know, so when I did that in Cleveland, you know, one thing that was really interesting was talking to them about, you know, how they rebuilt their coaching staff, and you know, Ken Dorsey coming in, and then you know, bringing in. You know, Andy Dickerson is a line coach who, you know, worked with the Rams and the Seahawks and has so much background in like the Sean McVay version of the offense that that Kevin Stefanski has been running over the last 4 years in Cleveland. Obviously, Chad O'Shea is an existing member of the staff. He has Patriot background. Well, so does Ken Dorsey, because then Ken Dorsey worked under Brian Daboll in Buffalo. So the idea was to inject new ideas into what they're doing, the same way Baltimore has, you know, over the last, you know, 7-8 years where they went from Marty Morinwig to Greg Roman, now to Todd Monken. And, you know, I think a lot of it was Deshaun focused. And we've talked about how, like, the change was sort of focused on trying to get the most out of Deshaun. It's certainly about everybody, but it's, you know, like with any team, it's about getting the most out of your quarterback. And I think, you know, like, you start to kind of wrap your arms around what Ken Dorsey's strengths are, and you can see what they're doing out there. It's more putting in like a shotgun drop back game. Gun runs are a big part of it, like coming from working with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and then playing with tempo. You know, like that's something that Ken Dorsey's really been able to kind of infuse into the offense. And so the challenge for the coaches has been, okay, like now we got all these ideas, and this is why, like, a lot of times coaches just, you know, hire from their own trees. Now we got to take all these ideas and distill it into something singular. Kevin Stefanski said it to me. He's like, if you have everything, you kind of have nothing. You know what I mean? If you're doing too much, that's not going to help you. So, you know, distilling it down to like what they want to do and what's best for Deshaun. And, you know, the idea all along was like, let's take the best ideas that Ken can bring from working with Josh Allen, from working with Cam Newton, you know, and give those to Deshaun Watson. And so, there's been, you know, like a lot of trial and error over the last 3 weeks in trying to figure out who they want to be and what they want to be offensively. But, you know, I think in the end, it's about getting the most out of the quarterback. And, yeah, I know they're very, very hopeful that, you know, both through doing more from the shotgun, you know, having more in your arsenal from the shotgun, playing with tempo, all stuff that Deshaun's really familiar with going back to when he was in high school, they're going to be able to get more out of him this year.
Albert, the Browns.
One other connection. By the way, just to throw another thing on there, Dustin. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
But one other thing that I think that, like, I don't know, a lot of people have made this connection, but you know, Ken Dorsey worked for Brian Daboll, and Brian Daboll is from the same background as Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien got, you know, the most out of Deshaun Watson, I think, hands down, of any coach that's worked with him as a pro. And so, you know, the fact that Ken Dorsey can come in and like has the background on like everything that Deshaun Watson did in Houston, I think has been a huge benefit to Kevin Stefanski and his staff as well.
Okay, so JOK gets re-signed or extended, I should say, this week. They've extended a number of players recently that they've drafted, which is a good thing, right? I mean, you want to draft guys that are good players that you can extend.
Yep.
So is this a good thing? Obviously, yeah. I think it is a good thing, but like, how long until these contracts, like, they're paying like how many guys over $10 million a year, Nick? Like, one of the, like, it's the top five in the league.
13
guys over $10 million a year. I mean, you can't do this like forever.
That'd be Conklin. Is Wills over $10 million? No, right? Not yet, right?
Yes, on a 1-year deal because he's the franchise tag, fifth year option.
Okay, right. Then it'd be Cooper. It'd be Judy. It'd be Chubb. It'd be Watson. It'd be Garrett. It'd be JOK. It'd be Ward, right? Am I missing anybody?
Miles? Did we say Miles?
I said Garrett, yeah.
Okay. Ha, yeah,
I called him Garrett, but
same
yeah,
guy.
Miles. No, you know what that does, guys? Like, honestly, if you're going to do it that way, it like narrows the path to filling out the rest of your roster. So you have to be confident in your ability to draft well into your middle class, right? Like, because if you're going to be top heavy that way, I think the Rams are probably the best example of a team that's done this well. Then like when you're talking about, you know, like maybe your second guard or your defensive tackle, yeah, or the rotational linebacker or your third corner, like those guys are all going to have to be drafted now. You're going to have less of an ability to go and get like the $5 or $6 million player which means you've got to draft that guy, right? And the Rams are a great example. I mean, you know, you can go up and down their roster over the years, and some of the guys that they've had, you know, that have become really good players that were middle-round picks. You know, your John Johnsons, your Ernest Jones, your, you know, like on offense, you know, that was Cooper Kupp at the beginning of his career. Obviously, he winds up playing well enough to get paid. But they've done a really good job of finding sort of these, like, second, like these second level players in the draft. And so it's fine to be top heavy and to pay your own. If you wind up paying a lot of guys, and that sort of narrows the path to fill out the rest of your roster, which means you've got to do a good job filling out your middle class in the draft.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So another contractual situation here in the AFC North is the Ja'Marr Chase situation.
Yep.
Is this thing going to get wrapped up before the season kicks off? And could this be one thing to kind of watch and maybe hold back the Cincinnati Bengals early here?
Yeah, I think back to his rookie year when he had the issue with the drops and how everybody was all worried about that. And then he had like borderline historic production as a rookie and they go to the Super Bowl, you know? So I trust that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be ready. The other thing is, you know, when I was there, it was so clear, like, that he's handling his business, but he's being a pro at the same time, right? Like, and you don't always see that everywhere. I mean, this is a hold-in. Like, the truth is he's just not practicing, right? Like, he's doing everything else. He's helping his younger teammates, the guys who are going to have to fill Tyler Boyd's role, which is a big deal for Cincinnati. He's helping their young receivers along. He's active in the meeting room. Like, he's done all the right things. It's, you know, just, you know, he's got a point to make on his contract, and he's making it. And you know, what's been difficult for them is, like, you've got – and this has happened in a bunch of the receiver negotiations. You have the Jefferson number floating out there, and it's so far above what, like, the rest of the young receivers – let's take Tyreek Hill out of it. That was a contract adjustment. A.J. Brown was a contract adjustment. It wasn't really a new deal. You know, the next level is at like $28 million. So Justin Jefferson's legitimately 25% above everybody else. So how do you bridge that gap? And I think the fact that like the Bengals aren't willing to just go and pay him 36 is why, you know, his side has been pretty quiet and hasn't been that active in seeking a deal. I think his side is more looking at it as, well, like, let's wait for Ayuk to play out. Let's wait for CeeDee Lamb to play out. And, you know, like, let's see if the Jefferson deal really is that much of an outlier, you know, and if Lamb comes in at 33, 34, well, then all of a sudden now you got your proof, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, that you're good to ask for what you asked for. So that's part of why it's taken as long as it has, is that, you know, like, they don't, I think as much as anything else, like, the Chase side isn't in any rush to do it because the Bengals, at least at this point, haven't wanted to set a new standard at the position.
Albert, looking to the Ayuk reports, does the report that Amari would be part of the package on an agreed-upon trade going back to San Francisco, does that maybe effectively kill Amari's chances of being here long-term?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like, look, like he's an older player who's seeking a third contract. And I think he's been around long enough to know. I mean, he went through it in Dallas, right? Like, where, you know, like I guess then he would be more than open to staying. Now, like, might it cut off your chance of getting a hometown discount? Like, that might be the case, right? Like, but I don't think Amari's been such a pro while he's been in Cleveland that I can't imagine that would be a real problem if the Browns were willing to pay him what he thinks he's worth. And look, like, here's the other part of it, is he's been really important for them this offseason in bringing Jerry Jeudy in and then bringing Elijah Moore along. Like, he's been fantastic for those guys. So, like, my feeling is, like, they still would like to get something done with Amari Cooper. Here's the other side of it, too. They weren't the ones that really broached that. Like, the Niners were just insistent with other teams, like, we need a player coming back because of the position we're in as a team. We really want to win with this group right now, because I mean, I might not be able to bring this whole group back. And so with the Browns, they asked for Amari Cooper. With the Patriots, they asked for Kendrick Bourne. With the Steelers, they actually asked for George Pickens. You know, so like that has been part of the equation with every team that they've talked to about Brandon Ayuk was like, we're not just going to go for picks. We want a player that we can use this year coming back in the deal.
Albert, looking to just big picture here. It's kind of a weird question, but there's been such interesting vibes or buzz coming out of each AFC North team camp, right? Uncertainty at Pittsburgh, maybe George Pickens yelling at people again. Cincinnati, it's been contract problems. Maybe Joe Burrow doesn't have the same zip coming off the wrist injury yet. T. Higgins, Hendrickson, those contracts as well. Then Baltimore, Lamar's tummy issues and a couple injuries. With the Browns, it's Deshaun and that's the offense and it's all and a couple other things. So I'm just of all the camp buzz out there, good and bad, is there a concern? Is there a situation around the AFC North to be most concerned about?
You know, I just think with Pittsburgh, like the instability at quarterback, like the other three teams don't have that, right? Like whatever you think of Deshaun, we know who the Browns quarterback's going to be. Obviously, the Bengals and Ravens, if those guys are right, are at the top of the league. And like I just tell you this on Burrow, like Burrow's progressively gotten better. Like so, like while like it may not be 100% perfect where he wants it right now. Like he has over period of time, like continually gotten a little better to the point where now, like I think he feels like he's throwing the ball really well. And Lamar, I mean, Lamar's dealt with so much noise in his career that I don't have any doubt that he's going to be able to handle what's going on around him. So like, I just look at Pittsburgh and it's like, who's their quarterback going to be in week five? Right. And then you look at it, and their offensive line's been an issue. Like, does Troy Fitano come in from Washington and settle down those issues? That's a big question. What does Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren look like out of the backfield? And where's Pickens at? Like, where's his head at going into this year? It just feels like with Pittsburgh, they always deal with a lot of noise there, and Mike Tomlin's been so good at it. It's been a huge advantage of theirs. I look at them, and I'm like, where's the upside with their team, And I can see real upside with the other three teams where it's like, you can convince me any of those three are going to the Super Bowl, to varying degrees. I just have a hard time seeing Pittsburgh that same way.
All right, Albert, I don't know how to ask this. What's going on with Lamar's tum-tum? Because he had, like, we've had issues where he's had to leave games with tummy issues earlier. He had tummy issues early. Is this like a whole thing or is it?
If you guys have an answer, let me know. I don't know.
Sounds
don't
like IBS knows. To me.
I don't think he knows, but like I do get the feeling like he's slightly amused by the hysteria over it. I don't know.
But, maybe too much fiber.
Again, like the one thing I'd say about Lamar, like the guy has had so much noise around him,
like his whole career. Like, is this going to derail him? Is that going to derail him? And he's won two MVPs, And I know the playoff performance hasn't been what everybody had hoped it would be, in a lot of those years. But, I mean, the reality is when Lamar Jackson's a quarterback, they're in the playoffs. Like, that's a proven fact, right? Like, that you have Lamar Jackson, you're in the playoffs. They've won playoff games. Have they gotten to the Super Bowl? No. But when he's been on the field, they've been really, really good. And so, he's dealt with injury issues earlier in his career. He's had a lot of noise around him. Like he's always had a really good way of managing all of it. So it's sort of like Burrow. Like Burrow, like he hasn't had a normal off season. You know what I mean? Like he just hasn't. Like he's coming out. Like his first year was COVID. His second year, he's coming off the ACL. His third year, I think it was the appendicitis. Right? Last year it was the calf, and now it's the wrist. But Joe always seems to play really well when he's out there, So, with both those guys, I have a lot of faith in both those guys, like as people and players, that they're going to be able to go out there and perform.
I would suggest more Slim Jims in his diet. I think it'll cure it up. Albert,
yeah,
great stuff.
Well, that reminds me of, I remember Corey Dillon when I was in the Patriots beat my first year covering the league and the way I knew he was done. Was his yards per carry were down, and every day he would walk into the locker room with a big bag of McDonald's, in retrospect, that might have been him punching the clock for the final few times, so to speak. It was actually my second year cover league. It would have been 06, but yeah.
Sounds like it could have been a correlation there. As a man who's eaten much, that
might have actually been a Cincinnati thing, because remember Chad Johnson was really big on McDonald's too.
It sounds right to me. Albert, great stuff, buddy. Great to catch up with you, man. And thanks so much, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say. Less about Slim Jims, more about Browns football next. But first, a quick update by a big Weej. Like Albert is all that concerned about the things coming out of camp for the Browns, about maybe the way things
the
are shaping
throws,
up.
The poor throws, the offense's lack of offense.
Yes, yes. How offensive the offense has been.
It's offensive, yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Canceling.
It's so funny, man. Like, I think these are valid conversations to have, and we had them earlier this week in a couple different ways. But it's... One, I think it is a plausible explanation that some of the reason why it might be hard to tell what's going on with the offense is they might be trying to figure this thing, and I don't want to say out on the fly, but trying to put together what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'll still go back to, like, if we get into October, or if we get into mid-October, and Deshaun doesn't look comfortable, and the offense looks wonky, and the O-line's struggling, I'm going to start to be concerned pretty early there. And I know, listen, if they get – I don't think much of this Dallas team. If Dallas hands their ass to them on September 8th, I'm going to have even more concern. But the truth is, like, I never expected the offense to be great early. I've kind of lowered the expectations – so because of that, I'm just not in panic mode. I'll say I'm curious. I said earlier that I'll be a little frustrated if the offense looks like some iteration of what we saw last year with Deshaun, where it was a lot of under center and it wasn't spread concepts. I'll be frustrated by these things, because then why did you fire AVP? And why did, which of course I think led to losing Bill Callahan. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have a lot of whys and I'll have a little bit of anger, but yeah, I mean, I think September is going to be a time where if the defense can come out and play great football, that might be what you need to start fast and allow the offense to kind of find its way early.
I think the offense is going to take some time early in the year. I also don't think that Kevin Stefanski is going to be like uber aggressive like early in the season. I think you can beat the Cowboys by going out and running the football and playing good defense. Do you agree with that, by the way? You think you got to throw up and down the yard? I don't want to get into a duel with Dak Prescott.
I think the problem is, I think they're turning this to more of a pass-heavy offense. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I think we've seen Kevin over the last little bit. Like, last year was Kevin Stefanski's best job of getting into games, realizing the attack they were trying to do wasn't working, and pivoting in the run game. And I think that's why they stayed afloat early in the season. Think of that Cincy game. Who blinked first and who pivoted to the run first is who won that game. Cincinnati went for the run for a modicum of time, then tried to go back to throwing, and the Browns get that win.
Can I ask you a question?
You may.
You worried at all about how we played against the Houston Texans defensively?
I mean, not worried. No. But I think this is a huge year for Jim Schwartz, for maybe his future as a head coach or not. And I think it's a huge year for the Browns to kind of plant their flag and show to everybody that they're truly an elite defense, because I think everybody was so caught unawares last year at how good this defense could be that we didn't have the highest expectations. So when they kind of had those games against Denver and L.A. where they faltered or they got exposed, and certainly the Houston game, in the playoffs, we kind of just looked the other way. I will say my bar is a lot higher for the defense, and what I care most about is consistency. Consistency, and this is going to be important that Miles learns that balance in year two where he doesn't over-pursue off the edge. Where and if he does, they have to have an answer for when teams have just kind of, oh, Miles over-pursued, we kicked him outside, and now we have a huge hole on the left side. So I don't think concerned is the right word. Worried, I'm intrigued. I think Jim Schwartz has had a whole offseason to kind of patch what didn't work last year or add little wrinkles that make this defense even more lethal. And here's the thing. They're really healthy, except for Delvin Tomlinson. They're far healthier on the defensive side than they are on the offensive side. How about you?
I think that I'm worried more so about this offense, man, when it comes down to it. Good points, by the way, on Myles Garrett. I like that one. I think he'll sort of come into his own as he's just growing in this defense. But, man, I think the offense... Like, you got to score 3 touchdowns a game, man. You got to score 24 points. At least 21. Is our offense good enough to put up 3 touchdowns a game? I hope so.
I don't know, really. The hope is a great word. Hope is a great idea. But then again, man, like, if you have a top 5 defense, you don't need to score 23 points a game. By the way, I think 23 points a game is pretty low. I feel like if you're scoring 23 points a game now, that's... your defense better be the best defense in the NFL. I feel like most average, I think the average points per game is like 27, 28. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, that's a little high, Nick.
Yeah?
I mean, think about the totals in like Vegas for gambling on these games. I mean, most totals are right around, you know, like 42, 43.
Let's see, just split
a little
the
higher, but you don't really get to 50 that often.
You split the difference. I'm proud of you. That's some really good mathing out of you. That's my boy.
Thank you.
$19 million for a house. Final segment of the show next on 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.